So, are you ready? All right, I want you to stand up. If you've got the prayers, I want you to put them down, because I don't want you looking at paper. I want you to simply to listen and follow. Okay? And if there's somebody, bring to mind. If you don't have anybody, thank you for just doing it with us, all right? So repeat after me. In the authority of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus to stand between me and this person and separate the one flesh union. I send back to them everything that I've taken from them when I became one flesh with them. I call back to me everything that I gave in this one flesh union. And I declare the blood of Jesus to be a wall of separation between us. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring my soul. Okay. You can be seated. If you have more partners you need to do that with, then you set up an appointment with Jesus sometime this week. And take care of business. Okay? Are we good? All right. I had a lady, I was in England. You have a question?
Based on your definition of having a fantasy, I think probably 99.999% of us have had fantasy.
If you have some, if it's still there, if you can't get past the fantasy, then yeah. Now, it's not just having a fantasy. It is like you're stuck on this one. All right. Then you need to. Yeah.
I have a quick question. Are these also, because we talk about the marriage relationship and sexual, this is just sexual, because can't you get soul ties from friendships and business relationships?
There are other ways to get soul ties, but we're not going to cover those.
Okay. I just wanted to know.
Yeah. But actually, some of those, I would put them into the categories like fear bonds. I mean, there's other kinds of categories that I would use. Not necessarily, some people say soul ties, but we'll talk about fear bonds maybe briefly. We'll see. No, we won't. If you went to the Unbroken Conference, I actually spent a whole session on breaking of fear bonds. It was on the evening session. I would recommend getting that tape or video at the Unbroken Conference at Global Awakening. It's, I don't know how you get a copy. Talk to Phil Olson and Barbara. They would know how to do that whenever they come back. A fear bond is whenever you are oppressed by a person. You're under them. You're smashed. You think we need to pray that one off tonight? Okay, we might. Okay, we. Okay, let me just say this about one, and then we'll talk about that. Then we'll talk about the other. Okay. I had a lady in England when I did this come up to me a few years ago when I did it in England. She comes up to me and she goes, "Oh no, I misunderstood." She goes, "I broke the soul tie with my husband." I said, "That's okay, lady. You can go home and fix that one tonight."
Did she laugh?
She was like relieved. Who has one of those prayers? Let me see if that soul tie prayer is on that set, because not everything is in it. Let me see if it's on here or not, because I did not bring. Is it? I mean, not soul ties, but fear bonds. It is, yeah. This is an old one. I actually did not even bring that. I can have access to it and send it. But let me tell you what fear bonds are. Fear bonds, there's love bonds and fear bonds. A love bond is whenever I have a love relationship with somebody that I can actually free to be me. In other words, I live in out of their love that they have for me. That is not based upon conditions, that my true identity can actually come forth. A fear bond is simply when you have to be somebody else for them. You, in other words, the true me cannot come out. The true me cannot. You're actually crushed. You're stifled, you know, in this thing. So it could be like either a Jezebel spirit. Or it could be just a wounded, dominating person. It could be, you know, somebody who had a fear bond themselves that puts that upon other people, so they actually control out of fear. And some people who carry that, you actually, even though you may be prone to love bonds, you get underneath that and you feel the suppression, and it can actually even be demonic. You're feeling a demonic oppression that's coming on you, and really with this person, you're walking on eggshells. In other words, you're not going to confront that person because you don't know what's going to come back out of that person or what's going to come on you from that person. That's a fear bond. Okay? So, in other words, but people have fear bond attachments where, like, I find myself in bondage to that particular person, you know. And so a lot of them, they will actually use this soul tie prayer, you know, or break it off, you know. But in reality, it is about coming out of fear and coming out of the fear of man and coming into who you are and into your true self and letting the true self of you come out and not living under that. You have to have forgiven that person for that. You release that person into the hands of Jesus, and then you simply, you know, break off the fear of man and the fear that you have lived under that have simply squished you down and limited your true identity. That's a fear bond. You know, let me bring another point. I got one more area to cover, okay? So let me bring a clarification there. Sometimes a person comes into that place because they've had a wounding that they have experienced that has come from a lack, not an event. You see, there's two kinds of woundings that we have. One is event, when something bad happened to us. Something bad happened to us. And so whenever we go through the inner healing process, we go back to that particular event of something that happened to us. And the Holy Spirit comes in and he meets us at that place and gives us God's eyes in that particular situation. Okay? And we feel the heart of God and all that kind of stuff that happens with that. And so a lot of the inner healing we do is event-oriented. Another type of wounding that we experience didn't come from event, it came from lack. In other words, I did not get what I needed when I grew up, and I feel the pain of that, and it feels as painful as if an event had happened. For example, let's say here's a young woman. She comes into the inner healing thing. And in her history, you know, let's say she grew up with pretty good parents in the sense that they were good parents. They didn't, you know, abuse her, beat her, anything like that. But let's say that she had a dad who was disabled, emotionally disabled, could not show any affection, any love, couldn't speak life to her. When she's growing up, he's not telling her she's a princess, she's the most amazing thing. You know, he basically just didn't spend much time with her at all because he was emotionally dysfunctional. He didn't know how to do that. He was emotionally crippled. He couldn't ever tell her that he loved her. He might have, when she was very young, when she said that to him, he said it back, but he kind of quit saying it because he got uncomfortable because he's emotionally crippled. And because of that, he simply wasn't there for her emotionally. You know, and how, you know, young girls, they need a daddy to be able to do that, to speak into their life, tell them that they were amazing, that they were important, that they're a princess, all that kind of stuff. And let's say that never happened because he's just emotionally crippled. So what happens, she grows up with this lack. She grows up with this lack of, she did not get what she needed. So that pain that she feels is actually not the pain of an event, but it's a pain of something she didn't get, but it's just as painful as if something bad had happened. So she shows up into the inner healing ministry of the church, and then they said, okay, let's just ask the Jesus. He'll go back into the memory. And now she has all kinds of memories of offenses. Because her whole life, you know, Dad didn't show up for my seventh birthday. You know, Dad didn't do this. He didn't, you know, he didn't tell me he loved me. He didn't. I mean, you're going to have all of these offenses over and over again. So there's not going to be any lack of offenses in her life to go back to, or issues. But, you know, he never beat her, hurt her, abused her. He didn't have sex with her. I mean, he didn't do any of that stuff to her. He was just emotionally crippled. But now she's feeling this pain. So then she, in this inner healing session, she feels the love of Jesus. He's actually touching that, so she's feeling love. So now she's feeling good. And then she leaves the inner healing session, and now she's doing good for a week or two. Then, but all of a sudden, because that lack has never been felt, that lack has a pain to it, and now she's feeling the pain. So then she makes another appointment with the inner healing group, repeating the process, and all she's finding is that she had is not addressing the real pain. You see, the real pain is not coming from an event. It's coming from what she didn't have. Her healing will take place in the midst of community, not from going to an inner healing session. She needs to learn how to connect with other believers. And as she learns to connect with other believers, she will learn to begin to receive what she never got. Because other people can actually give it to her. That's why it's important to have spiritual moms and dads in the church. And a lot of times, even an old person needs a spiritual mom and dad because they never got it and they still feel that pain. Spiritual mom and dad, that's not an age issue, okay? It is whoever carries that on them. But what has happened is that because of these woundings, she's actually probably conditioned herself to fear. So she doesn't enter into relationships very well. She actually keeps out of relationships. So she doesn't enter into relationships because of that fear stuff. So now she's able. So what happened? The enemy has sabotaged her. She's not gravitating to the very things that would bring life to her. Because her healing is in relationships, not by going to the inner healing. Is this making sense? Okay. Yeah, she will isolate. She will isolate. And people with fear bonds, they isolate. And they can't get around hardly. See, what happens with that is that their joy bucket, their joy capacity, is simply as robbed. Joy is your power to get through life. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay? So in other words, how fast can you return to joy? How quickly can you return to joy? The quicker you can return the joy, the quicker you can recover. You know, if your joy bucket is big, then you recover quickly. If your joy bucket is small, it takes you longer, and it takes less to deplete you of joy. You know, I see all the kinds of hands coming up here.
Is it okay if I ask you a question?
Yeah,
make a comment. Wouldn't you say that if the body is in tune to that person and what they're sensing from her, the more they love on her will break that off of her?
Absolutely.
So she can come into healing, you know, that way, through love.
Yes, it will, except for one thing, is that person is, when they get around happy people, people full of joy, it reminds them of what they didn't have. And so sometimes it actually brings up pain. That's why you can actually bring somebody to your house and everybody in this house is having a good party. They're all just enjoying themselves. And one person is sulking on the couch like, what is your problem? You know, this is the happy place. This is the happy place. You should be happy, you know. But they're all like, I don't know. Because what is happening is that their lack of joy is, and they're experiencing joy, is actually reminding, it's actually revealing their pain. So they can't enter into the joy. And what that person has to do, you see, you got to stick it out until the joy begins to come. Don't run away. You know, it's all this happiness, it's just exposing your lack of it.
From personal experience, I think a good indication of someone suffering from that is they're pretty even keel in the emotions. And the other thing is that if you ask them about the love language, the five love languages, they cannot tell you which ones are predominant.
Yeah.
Okay, and I've tried to push the buttons on all five, yeah. and it doesn't work with this kind of a person.
Yeah, that's true. What do you do? We get them into relationships.
Like,
if they run away, if they keep coming back, that's progress. That's why sometimes they will just leave for a period of time, and they'll come back. If they don't come back, you know. But sometimes if they keep coming back. Every time they come back, if they keep repeating this cycle, it'll get shorter and shorter and shorter. But a lot of them don't know what's going on when you kind of explain that to them. There is a book that is called, what is the name of that book? I think it's in the Shepherd's House. But the book is, that name is escaping me right now. It'll come to me. Sometime tonight. Basically, he addresses this whole issue. You know, he actually calls it trauma A and trauma B. Sometimes the bad things that happen to us, and sometimes the other traumas is what we did not get. So, in the book, like I said, it is just now, boom, just escaped me. So, no, it's an older book. You can get it on Amazon. But and I think it's by the Shepherd's House. It's the place and. I'll try to. Maybe it'll come back to me. Life model. It's called life model. Yeah, life model. So they actually deal a lot with this area of joy, the joy deficiency, you know, your joy buckets and stuff like that. You know, fear bonds, love bonds. They really kind of lay that one out and explain it very well in that book. They use some science, you know, with the brain and things of that nature. I mean, because your joy center, you know, overrides all the other things in your mind, in your brain. Your joy can get you through. I mean, it really can. And joy is in the book. Read the book. Life model. Okay. So, but they don't do with the breaking off of fear bonds. And I don't have that prayer on me. I'm sorry. I wasn't going to cover that one, and I did not throw it in there. But I will get you that prayer.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. It's a prayer that I learned to I'm free to live and I'm free to love. You know. So, all right. Change course here. Are we doing okay?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that was like we got off the road there and we. Yeah. I'm good. I'm good. So let's talk about generational blessing and generational cursings, okay? A lot of times when I'm ministering to somebody and nothing seems to work, we can't find any open door that this person actually opened themselves. Oftentimes, we'll end up beginning to address that maybe this came down generationally. So let's talk about the generational highway, that God is a God of generations. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's used a lot of times in the scripture there. He's a God of generations there. And so God basically designed the blessing to flow down generational lines and actually to increase with the succeeding generations.
Amen.
For example, first high priest was Aaron. Now they put this special high priestly robe on Aaron. Didn't put it on his sons, but his sons had their own special robes. But Aaron died. When Aaron died, they took that high priestly robe off of Aaron and put it on his son, you know, Phinehas there. So Phinehas was, Eleazar. Eleazar was his son. And so they anointed him. And so, you know, as it happened with Aaron, you know, he was anointed. It fell on his head, goes down his beard, and falls into the robe. All right, they took that robe off after he died, put it on his son Eleazar, and then they anointed him. What happened is that oil comes down, comes off of his beard, comes down into the robe, and now the robe contains the fragrance of his father's anointing and his anointing. He dies. His son, Eleazar, basically now becomes high priest. So therefore, they put that robe on him. Then they poured it on his head, and it goes down off his beard, flows into the robe. Now that robe contains the fragrance of his grandfather, of his father, and his own anointing. You see, the way that the anointing of God is supposed to operate, it is supposed to increase from generation to generation. The blessings are to increase from one generation to the next generation. When the people of Israel moved into the promised land, they moved in there. They had houses that they didn't build. They had wells that they did not dig. They had vineyards that they did not plant. I mean, they had all of that only because they were sons of Abraham. How many know that when those guys left it, you know, when Jacob left the land with his family, they did not have all that stuff in the land. But 400 years later, all that stuff was put in there, and now they're able to reap what somebody else sowed and planted. It's accumulation. That's the way that blessing comes. It flows down generational line. That's the way that God designed it to function. The enemy understands this. He understands about this generational highway. And what he wants to do, he wants to turn it for himself, and he would like to actually clog it up. So you don't get that. But he also wants to be legalism, use some legalism, and put something on you that was up a previous generation. Found in two places in those first five books. You have the book of Exodus chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments that's mentioned here. Also in Numbers chapter 14, 18, where it says that the Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. Here it is. It's in the Word. It's a legal loophole. So they're going to try to usurp that thing, even though it's not right. Now, this one touched me personally because when I was born with a spirit of rage. My grandfather had the spirit of rage. His name was Joe Howard. Now, we don't know if his father had spirit of rage or not, because my grandfather really never knew his father, because when he was 1 year old, his father was murdered. Butcher knife right down the middle of his head. Great. Somehow we think that maybe rage might have been involved in that one, okay? His son, Joe Howard Jr., had a spirit of rage. Now his was so severe, he was institutionalized because of it. Now, my mother they would actually blame an accident that he had early on in his life, and that's basically what they were attributing it to, that he had, you know, they were in a car accident earlier in his life. But this thing kind of popped up a little bit later, and Joe would actually get so, this anger would come up, and it would be so severe that the family actually had to work out some plans in order to deal with this anger. And what happened is that, you know, my grandpa had the dairy farm, and so what happened is that my grandmother would try to talk him down, and when she couldn't talk him down, then basically my mom would take my two uncles and go out into the field so he wouldn't hurt them, and then my other aunt, she would go out into the field and get my grandpa, bring him in, and grandpa would try to talk him down, and it got to the point where they could no longer talk him down. The only way they could basically stop him was for my grandfather to hit him so hard that it knocked him out. And when it got to be that point, they institutionalized him, which was not a good place to be in the 1930s. Or any time. But the 30s especially has a reputation, you know. By the way, God did heal my Uncle Joe. He had two great aunts who prayed. almost blind in their 90s, but they could really reach into heaven. My Uncle Joe wrote my grandparents and said, hey, listen, come get me. God has healed me. They're like, no way. We're not doing that because, you know, we don't trust him. He's just saying that he just wants to get out. But my two aunts wrote my grandparents a letter and says, God has spoken to us. He has healed him. Go get him. And God had healed him. So based on that, because they didn't know that he had sent the letter, that all they had was the word from the Lord, and they just, and he was, that thing was gone. Yeah. God came in. I don't know how he did it, but all of a sudden he just healed him. I do have a couple of uncles that have a little bit of anger, one especially. They're all Howards. Now this is on my mom's side. Now, my name is Rodney Howard Hoag. I got the family name, and I got the family demon. I had this rage my whole life. All my life, I had this spirit. I remember my mom speaking against that spirit. She didn't know what it was. She just addressed it, and she quoted scripture, and I remember getting so mad inside going, argh, but I couldn't do anything. I just submitted. Submitted to the word of God, you know. But I got more spankings than all of my siblings put together. I got more spankings in school when they did spank. Then all of my siblings put together. My last one was in 11th grade. Yeah. I excelled in sports because of this thing. I mean, no, I just get mad and all of a sudden I just go for it. I was mean. Football paid my way through college. Okay. It had actually become my friend. You can control your world, people around you, even when there's rage. So, having rage might have helped me in some areas, but it is very dysfunctional to have rage and pastor a church.
Fear bond. Let me write that down.
Yeah. You can write that one down, all right. So I did get rid of it. God did free me of this thing, but because it had become my friend, it was the most difficult thing for me to get rid of because I had to really not want it. It's like I knew it was there. I couldn't get rid of it. I was saying, Lord, free me, free me, free me, release me, free me. It wasn't working until I really got so desperate. I'll say, I'll do whatever it takes to get rid of this. And then it was at that point that God set me free. At this time, I didn't have any prayers to pray. I didn't have anybody walk me through this thing, you know. I didn't even realize that it had actually come down generationally. I learned that a little bit later on. Okay. But you just need to understand that the enemy does not play fair. We're all in agreement with that. That he cheats, he lies, whatever he can do, he will do that. So he will try to come down generational lines. But the good news is that the blessings of God, as it says in the Psalms 105, verse 8, are for 1,000 generations. You know? So let me talk about it. So let me just put it this way. If there's been a covenant or if there's been a contract that has been made in one generation, God will honor that covenant or contract in that generation until another one comes that can actually break it. Isaiah chapter 28, it's about the Messiah coming. It's a messianic passage. And reading in the New Century Version helps me to really get understand a little bit better. It says, so listen to the Lord's message, those of you who brag. You leaders in Jerusalem, you say, we've made an agreement with death. We have a contract with death. When terrible punishment passes by, it won't hurt us because our lives will keep us safe and our tricks will hide us. So in other words, if there's a covenant or the contract, that covenant or contract will actually bring protection. It's really what this is saying here. And what we need to realize this is that God does honor covenants that are not even his covenants from generation to generation. I mean, for example, you know, in the book of Joshua chapter 9, Joshua makes a covenant with the Gibeonites. Remember the Gibeonites? The guys who dressed up, they put old clothes on, got old food, go over there. Hey, Joshua, we'd like to make a covenant with you. And they go, he goes, well, you don't live in the land, do you? They go, oh, no, we don't live here. These clothes, they were brand new when we started our journey. This bread, it was fresh out of the oven. He goes, okay. So he didn't inquire of the Lord, which he should have done. He just kind of believed them and then made a covenant with them. And then he found out they were lying. They were just right up, they lived down the road here. But he made a covenant. In the next chapter, in Joshua chapter 10, the five kings found out what these Gibeonites did, and they went and made war against the Gibeonites. So the Gibeonites, what do? Joshua, we got a covenant. Of course, I'm thinking, well, you know, hey, listen, that was made out of deceit. It doesn't count. But no, God honored it because it was made. It was a covenant that was made. We don't understand the power of covenants and the things about covenant in this culture, you know, when agreements and covenants are made. But this covenant was made, and so God, they honored it, and they went to war and went and fought. And that was the time that it says that the sun stood still for a whole day for them to complete the battle. And so they won. That was a good thing. Okay. So fast forward. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Israel is in a drought, a 3-year drought. David inquires of the Lord, what's going on? Why are we in this drought? And to the prophet, the Lord speaks and says, the drought is here because King Saul, the predecessor, violated the covenant with the Gibeonites. How many generations between Joshua and David? Was it 500? Something like that? 400 years of generations? There's a lot of generations in between there. In other words, that covenant lasted generation to generation to generation, all the way to Saul. Saul violated that. So what David does, he goes to the Gibeonites and says, how can we make this right? And they said, give us 7 of the descendants of Saul. But then it goes on to say that David did not give them Mephibosheth. Now Mephibosheth happened to be the son of Jonathan, whom David had a covenant with. So the covenant that David had with Jonathan protected Mephibosheth because of that particular covenant. In other words, there is one that superseded. There's one that was a greater covenant, and therefore the greater covenant, the latter covenant, the greater covenant basically nullified that previous covenant on Mephibosheth. So you do see where this is going, don't you? All right. So, same passage in the book of Isaiah chapter 28. So because of these things, this is what the Lord says. I will put a stone in the ground in Jerusalem. This is talking about the Messiah. He's talking about Jesus. A tested stone. Everything will be built on this important and precious rock or cornerstone. Everyone who trusts in it will never be disappointed. And I will use justice as a measuring line and goodness as a standard. And the lies you hide behind will be destroyed as if by hail. They will be washed away as if in a flood. Your agreement with death will be erased. Your contract with death will not help you. When terrible punishment comes by, you will be crushed by it. So in other words, when the Messiah comes onto the scene, all of those other covenants and contracts are going to do you no good.
Hallelujah.
They have no power over you. Because you actually, when you come into a relationship with Jesus, you have entered into a blood covenant with Jesus. And the blood covenant that you have with Jesus supersedes, takes out any other covenant that has been made in your behalf. Is that good? That is really good. So in other words, any covenant that has been made in your behalf, and what he says here, he says, I will use righteousness or justice as a measuring line, goodness as a standard. So anything that is not righteous and just, we're going to ask God to simply to cancel that assignment. Now this has to be reinforced. Okay, it has to be reinforced because the enemy is using it as a loophole. We need to understand there's some things in our life we get automatically and some things we have to enforce to get it. I mean, whenever you give your heart to Jesus, what is automatic? You are forgiven of all your sin. You got heaven as your inheritance, right? All right, those are the automatic ones here, okay? But then there's other things that you simply have to push in for, like all of those promises. You know, right? Some of those promises that God gives you, they're not fulfilled yet. So you have this hope you're pushing in, fulfill that. If anybody ever gives you prophetic words, you know, some kind of naturally happen. The others you got to push in for, right? So there's certain things we simply have to enforce. And this is one of the things that we enforce, you know, because the enemy, it's not right. Ezekiel 18 says it's just not right for one generation to suffer from, you know, from the effects of a previous generation, you know. But the enemy, he doesn't play fair. He's the thief. It comes to kill and to destroy. So therefore, we are going to enforce what Jesus has done for us and the covenant that we have with him. So therefore, we're going to break and nullify anything that we have that has been made in our behalf.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Day
Which one? I gave you a bunch.
Yeah, okay, the one right before what you launched into here.
Okay, we looked at Isaiah 28, 14 through 18. We looked at Joshua 9, Joshua 10, 2 Samuel 21, Ezekiel 18, 2 Samuel 21. Yeah, with the 3-year drought. Okay.
Thank you.
So we seem to be under covenants and contracts until we break them.
Amen.
And we can do that.
Yeah.
Okay?
I got a quick question about a covenant.
Yeah.
I studied this and I found different opinions.
Hold on. Can we get the microphone, please?
Question about covenants.
Yeah, because, you know,
that is a big topic here.
I
may only give you a sentence.
All right. Okay, yes, please.
Yes.
More. So the question on covenants is, in studying, we're speaking on the two separate ones that I was looking at. One with the Eli, he got cursed and God made, you know, his children, the prophet Eli, and it continues. So that was broken. From your teaching just now.
No, they're not under the blood. The Jesus, it hadn't happened yet.
Yeah,
with
so
Eli.
That ended.
Yeah.
But God also gave David a covenant that said it would be everlasting. But that moves into Christ.
The Messiah.
It moves into the Messiah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because some people showing this teaching that beyond the Messiah, there's still that thing with his bloodline, David's bloodline, there's still some type of covenant. But I was like, it's seen the conflict.
Messiah's already come.
Right. So that's what I say, the same thing. Well, what's
he didn't have that bloodline because he already gave his blood.
Already done. Thank you. Did answer that in one.
Okay,
sentence.
Here we go. Okay. So what I'm going to pray a prayer over you. And then we're going to do something together. And we're going to basically cut off anything that's coming down to us. And what we're also going to do is that we're going to open up the generational lines of the highway of blessing. Okay? You know, one of the reasons that the enemy has you make judgments against, like, your parents, grandparents. It's that if you can make judgments against them, you shut off the highway. If you make judgments against your parents or your grandparents, you shut off the highway. There's debris. The pipe is clogged. That's right. That's why we forgive them. We release them, put them in the hands of Jesus. They're not in our hands anymore. So, why don't you stand? Put the sheet down. let me pray for you first. I tell you what, let's just take a moment. Because if you have any judgments against your parents, you're going to put them in the hands of Jesus, okay? If you're waiting for them to wake up, smell the coffee, and say, I'm sorry, okay, it's not going to happen. You know, just release them right now. So just in your heart right now, you just release them. If there's anybody up your family line that you have any judgments about, you know, then you just do that, okay? Then just do that. Okay, let me pray over you. So, Lord, according to our covenant with you, we just ask you to open the books of our past, of every covenant that's been made, every contract that's been made that our forefathers entered into on our behalf, that's giving protection to the demonic that's around us. And we ask you, Lord, to look at every one of these and see if these are not absolutely just and righteous. And if they're not, we're going to ask you to annul them and release the affliction of the demonic off of us. And what we're going to do, we're going to do something very, very repetitive. Because we're going to shut that generational line down. We're going to shut off with the fourth generation. Because that's the word the scripture said. We're going to shut off the fourth generation. And then we're going to move to the third generation. Then we're going to go to the grandparents, which is the second, our parents, which is the first. And then we're going to shut off anything that would be going down to our descendants.
Amen.
Okay? And in this prayer, we're also going to be opening things up. So it's going to feel repetitious. So as we go through this, if you feel something specifically or something comes to your mind on a particular generation, you might need to go do some investigating with your family if you can. You know, sometimes if you're adopted, you can't do that. And by the way, let me say something about those who are adopted. You get a double blessing because not only do you get the inheritance that would come down from your physical parents, but you get the inheritance from your adoptive parents as well as a full heir. Okay? And you may say, well, my parents and my grandparents, they were scoundrels. They might have been, but let me tell you, they still had an inheritance down their line that they didn't take up. And just because they didn't take it up doesn't mean that there's not one there available for you to latch on to. You can actually pull what they never claimed and pull it into you. Okay? So we can do that. But if you feel something specifically for a specific generation, you know, go do some history because there may be some specific things that the Lord may want you to break off that might have come down from that generation. Okay? Just do some investigating, and if you don't find anything, that's okay too. You know, sometimes those things are a lot of times hidden. Those are the family secrets, you know, that are in there. But it doesn't matter because everything's exposed to the Lord, so we can get free of everything. Okay? So repeat after me. In the name of Jesus,
I
declare the blood of Jesus.
To stand between me
and the fourth generation
as a wall of separation.
I cancel every assignment of darkness.
I remove every right of the demonic
to afflict me
because of the sin of the fourth generation.
And I call to me my righteous inheritance,
my righteous inheritance
and blessings
of the fourth generation.
Okay, that was our great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents. Now we're going to our great-grandparents, which is the third. In the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I declare the blood of Jesus,
to
stand between me,
and the third generation,
as a wall of separation.
I cancel every assignment of darkness.
I remove every right of the demonic
to afflict me
because of the sin of the third generation.
And I call to me
my righteous inheritance
and blessings
of the third generation. Okay, let's do our grandparents, which is the second one. In the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I declare the blood of Jesus,
to
stand between me,
and
my grandparents,
as a wall of separation.
I cancel every assignment of darkness.
I remove every right of the demonic
to afflict me
because of my grandparents'
sin. And I call to me
my righteous inheritance
and the blessings
of my grandparents.
All right, ready to do our parents?
In the name of Jesus,
I declare the blood of Jesus
to stand between me
and my parents
as a wall of separation.
I cancel every assignment of darkness.
I remove every right of the demonic
to afflict me
because of my parents'
sin.
I call to me
my righteous inheritance
and the blessings of my parents.
Okay? We got one more to go, all right?
That's right. We don't want any stuff coming down from us to anybody, right?
So repeat, in the name of Jesus,
I declare the blood of Jesus
to stand between me
and my children
and my grandchildren,
and my great-grandchildren,
and all my descendants,
as a wall of separation.
I cancel every assignment of darkness.
I remove every right of the demonic
to afflict my descendants
because of my sin.
And I give to my descendants
my righteous inheritance
and my blessings.
Now,
I want you to get in a posture of receiving. We've opened up the highway.
So, Lord Jesus.
Oh, don't repeat after me, okay?
I'm going to pray.
All right.
You just receive.
All right.
Now, receiving means you receive. You do not pray.
Okay, don't be speaking in tongues or nothing, all right?
It's about receiving, 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 receiving.
Right now, the Lord is going to begin to pour onto you.
So, Holy Spirit,
we ask you now, begin to download to us everything that is up our family line.
Everything that is up there,
that is up our family line. Every bit of inheritance and blessings and anointings.
So, Lord, just begin to pour it on us right now.
So, just receive. Just receive. Just receive. Just receive.
I'm telling you, there's stuff up that line. You think, for 1,000 generations, what's up there?
I mean, how many gifts are up your family line?
I mean, if you can see it up your family line, you can have it.
For some of you, it is giftings in the Spirit.
Some of you, it is prophetic.
Some of you are going to actually wake up in the next few days and prophesy because you're going to have new insights and understanding,
because now that is your inheritance. It's just up there. Some of you, there's an anointing in your family line. Some of you, it's like no matter what I put myself into, I lose money and lose money. And there's an anointing for business and there's anointing for making money that's up your family line. But the enemy has simply robbed you of that. And he's going to begin opening that up. Wisdom in there. Gifts. Some of you are going to wake up evangelist. You know, there's these gifts. Just gifts. Remember that it accumulates. There is an accumulation of all these generations. This is the only way we're going to reach our world. So just receive. 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 Some of you don't realize that you are the object of one of your ancestors' prayers. God spoke to them some maybe in just the corner of the little room hundreds of years ago and said to them, your descendant shall, and you are that descendant that shall do what he promised. I just receive gifts, anointing, power. I mean, some of you had ancestors that they walked in healing. You know, it's just going to be in your hands. Maybe you feel your hands burning, it's like it's going to come down. Some of you feel your lips burning. You know, that's just, you know, maybe some prophetic stuff or things that God's called you just to speak, or evangelism, especially if your feet are burning. Just receive. Just receive. Just receive. Some of you said, well, you know, how will God ever use me? I don't have anything. I'm telling you, there is an inheritance that's flowing to you right now. Just receive. Just receive. See, an inheritance, we don't work for inheritance. An inheritance is what somebody else worked for. Somebody else earned. Some ancestor paid the price to walk in something, and now they're saying it is yours as a gift. It is your inheritance. I sacrificed, paid the price to walk in this stuff, and now freely, freely received, freely walk in it. Freely I receive, freely I walk in it. Just receive. I mean, some of you are going to walk away tonight. I mean, you're going to have stuff downloaded into you and on you that you're like, what just happened to me? It might take you a few days of just asking the Lord, what was that train that hit me? And it's a whole train load of boxcars loaded with things that is yours. That we're ready to open these boxcars up. This is yours. This is yours. Each generation has a boxcar. A blessing's just to come on you, flow in you. Some of you are going to have this new sense of authority on you. Some of your ancestors, where they lived, they paid the price. They fasted and prayed and paid the price simply to gain authority in an area, in a region. Listen, you can receive what they bought and paid for. You don't have to start over. He doesn't want you to walk in a single generation anointing. He wants you to walk in all that is up your family line. And even though many of your family line might not have received it, walked in it, it doesn't matter. It's still up there. There are certain calls of God, callings that are coming down. Just receive. You're going to be a conduit, and it's going to flow through you, and it's going to flow through to your descendants. Power. Some of you, signs and wonders just going to come naturally to you.
Somebody said, I never had words of knowledge. This is going to happen. You go, what was that? Some of you, just there's going to be just a download of wisdom from above, the wisdom from heaven, ideas, blueprints, strategies. It's up your family line and it's coming down to you. It belongs to you. Other generations have aborted it, but that doesn't mean it can't come to you. Just receive. Just receive. Some of you, you're going to figure out that you're a teacher and you didn't even know it. Some are going to have an increased passion for His Word. The others are going to be people groups He's going to stick on you because it's up in your family. It's a call on them. It's a call. Some of those fivefold giftings will just begin to soak down to some of you. Not more, Lord. More. Increase it. Increase it. Increase it. Oh, just release life, your life, 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 your joy. Just release it, Lord. Your peace. Oh, just let it come. Let the fruit of the kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy, just let it just flow in us, Lord. Let it wash through us now. Let it wash through us. Let it just flow in us. Just flow through our minds and wash through our bodies down to our feet like a river. Just let it wash in and flow through. Now, Lord, everything has been broken off us tonight. We ask you now to fill us in a fresh way with your Holy Spirit. Fill every cavity, every part of our heart and our minds and our bodies now. Just fill us in a new way, in a fresh way. Just flood us. Flood us. And Lord, I just want to release everything you've just put upon me that I can freely give away, because your word says freely we have received, freely we can give. Just anything that I have received that I can give away, what has come on through me either through impartation or through obedience, Father, to just to set the captives free, Lord, I just begin to release that now on everyone here in this room who would like to receive it. Yeah. Just ask you, Lord, begin to put it on them now. Just put it on them. Eyes that see and ears that hear. New levels of the Spirit. Father, bless the words that come out of their mouth. They'll be tempered with, seasoned with grace. With love. Yeah. Just anoint their feet everywhere that they go. Just like you're with Moses and Joshua. Everywhere that the sole of their feet treads, Lord, give it to them. Everywhere they walk and prayer walk even, Lord, just give it to them. Homes, their businesses, their neighborhoods, just everywhere they go, Lord, they bring your kingdom and your light. And Lord, let them be ruled by your heart. You know, some people think that for deliverance, that the anointing for that feels like authority, but it really feels like compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion, then he healed the sick. Whenever you feel compassion, you're feeling the anointing. When you feel the heart of Jesus for somebody, the anointing is present. Yeah. So just give them a new heart, fresh anointing. Just receive it, okay? Just receive it. What the Lord's put on me to give away, I just give it to you. It's freely, freely, freely receive, freely give away. All of you can do this stuff, okay? You can all do it. You can all do it. You can all do it. You're in the kingdom. You got the same Holy Spirit that the Apostle Paul had. Right? It's not deficient. He's not deficient. Yeah. Now, if you're still like receiving, getting stuff from the Lord, then you are free to stay right there. And if you wanted, and if you're not and you're wanting to get out in your middle of the road, I would say too bad. You might just have to sit there for a little while. But so if you're still receiving, just receive. If you feel like the Lord's kind of done with you, then you're free to go. For those who will be joining us tomorrow, it's at 10, right? Mm-hmm. Church is at 10 tomorrow. We'll talk about forgiveness then and break stuff loose. People always get healed when we preach on forgiveness. It just happens. So we'll expect something like that to go on too. So whenever you feel like the Lord's done with you, then don't hang on to my report. But if you want to stay where you are, just God's still putting stuff in you. And by the way, you might want to get a journal this week and begin to say, Lord, what was that? And just let him just write, tell you what it is and write it down, okay? Write it down. Ask the Lord. Listen to him. Some of you are going to hear really clearly in the next few days. Like you hadn't heard before. You should expect it.